Welcome to the Softball Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. I run informal softball practices every Sunday afternoon at a local park, with open invitations to anyone who wants to play. Sometimes we have as few as 4 people, sometimes upwards of 20. Last week we had an entire team show up. They were a new team, just getting together to play in the local fall ball league. And they looked pretty good, except for their pitcher. They hadn't been able to find a pitcher, so they appointed one of their guys to learn to pitch. He was just starting, and he really needed some guidance. So this program is for those newbie teams who need help with their pitching. What makes a good pitcher? I'd first find out if I had anybody on my team who played horseshoes, because the skills and talents necessary in horseshoes are very similar to the skills and talents that make a good pitcher. There are 2 main differences. 1, a horseshoe is a ton heavier than a softball, and 2, when you pitch a horseshoe, it probably won't be coming back at your face at 100 miles an hour. No horseshoe players on your team? Okay, next best. Do you have any bowlers? A good bowler is halfway there in throwing strikes. He already knows how to keep his pitches on line. He just has to learn to throw them the proper distance. What's the best way for a new pitcher to practice? Glad you asked. Get a milk crate and a couple dozen softballs. The balls can be junkers. Nobody will be hitting them, so they can be soft and worn out, and it doesn't matter. Instructions for teaching yourself to pitch accurately with a high arc are on my website. Click the link on the notes to this show at www.thesoftballcorner.com. You can build a frame that will help you master the high arc pitch for about $1.50. You'll see a photo on that site of a softball I pitched, frozen in the air above the top of the frame, an action shot my wife Kathy caught just perfectly. Okay, back to practice. This is important. Throw each and every pitch as if you have a 3-2 count on a batter. Take your time. Don't rush your pitches because you have a whole box of balls or because you're getting tired. The longer you think and concentrate before you throw each pitch, the more you'll learn from your practices. And the fact that there's no batter standing there when you practice is a plus, not a minus, because you want to get into the habit of watching the plate, not the batter. When you're pitching in a real game, look at the spot you want the ball to land. That's easy to do when there's no batter, but when a batter's in the box, you're tempted to watch him. That won't help your pitching accuracy. You have to look at and concentrate on your target, and your target is a spot just behind home plate. And the fact that there's no batter standing there when you practice is a plus, not a minus. Get into the habit of watching the plate, not the batter. When you're pitching in a real game, look at the spot you want the ball to land. That's easy to do when there's no batter, but when a batter is in the box, you're tempted to watch him. That won't help your pitching accuracy. You have to look at and concentrate on your target, and your target is a spot just behind home plate. If you're playing ASA, your pitches have to be 6 to 12 feet high. I've found that most umpires give me a few feet more than that, some of them allowing 15 feet or more. The higher your arc, the harder it is for most players to hit the ball cleanly. And if you can learn to toss your really high pitches in there for strikes, throwing flatter strikes is a piece of cake. You want to mix your pitches up. Toss a 6-footer and a 9-footer every once in a while. Notice I haven't mentioned fancy pitches with crazy spin, or no spin at all. Those come later. The newbie pitcher needs to learn to throw strikes, strikes, and more strikes before he learns the trick pitches. All the trick pitches in the world are worthless if you're walking all your batters. So, to sum up, when your team needs a new pitcher, find one who can throw strikes first or who is most likely to be able to learn to throw strikes quickly. Of course, there's a lot more. Handling liners right back at you, knowing what you'll do with the ball if it comes back to you as a fly or a grounder, often it's different, knowing what base to back up after the ball is hit, etc., etc., etc. I've talked about those things in previous shows, but throwing strikes comes first. Or, maybe, not getting killed by a line drive comes first, but you get the idea. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out that great shot of the pitching frame in action. The link is in the show notes for this program, which is program number 25, at thesoftballcorner.com. If you want to discuss this show, add a comment on the show notes page. And check out my book, Coaching and Managing Adult Slow Pitch Softball, at softballmanual.com. From the Softball Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.